Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Tom Arnold, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, his wife would probably butcher the national anthem, too. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for the Roseanne Barr reference, Mike Lynch. We do appreciate what you do. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Took me a second.
That was funny.
Ball Brian.
Where's the sports?
And it's here. Jeff Cesario. It's Chet Waterhouse in studio. Jeff, one of my favorites, and Jeff is... been around doing comedy and being consistent, and what's it take to put together 40 years of being a professional comedian?
Yeah, just about. Almost 37, yeah.
I know you have to, the product's got to be there, but the relationships have to be there, right? Because everyone, it's this kind of thing, like it's like being in junior high and never leaving, and you can't... You're eventually going to date everybody or go on a second right. date with everybody. And if you piss everybody off, they come around again. Like, you don't go to another, you don't transfer.
No, it takes a while to understand that, too.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, I just got to network a little bit, too. It's that sliding scale of merit. Merit can bat anywhere in the lineup. Sometime merit bats first, sometime it bats eighth. And you just have to understand that some other things go before
merit.
It's
like Derek Jeter.
In certain projects. That's all. Yeah, exactly.
But if you become unreasonable or difficult, once the word gets out that you're difficult and people don't want to work with you anymore, you don't work.
Especially if you're not the star.
Right.
If you're the star, you can work.
Right.
If for whatever reason you've got a big duffel bag full of followers, it can, you know, you can still... be a raving lunatic. But
the problem is it's hard to remain the star and keep that status when work is starting, people are backing off you. And what happens is the star, I feel like, coasts to a stop at some point. Look, they could have 10 years or 20 years. But Cesario's doing something right.
Well, you know, I'm just banging. I'm banging to the body. And I'm an Italian fighter. I don't go down. So I'll be here in round 15. And if you leave the head open, I'm taking it.
Oh, I realize you, like me... must be mistaken for a Jew in this town all the time.
Yes.
The Italians, I always say, they're just like dumb Jews with a better nose.
Oh, yeah. And then for a long time, in the 70s especially, they used Jews to play Italians. Remember? Judd Hirsch played Del Vecchio.
Yeah.
And Barry Newman played Petrocelli.
Well, the Fonz.
The
Fonz.
Petrocelli. Yeah, Del Vecchio, the Fonz. Yeah, these were, because it's the dark, sunken kind of eyes, the pronounced
nose, the Mediterranean
look. All the same stuff.
Money grubbing. Oh, sorry. I'm not doing anything.
All the same stuff. But yeah, Del Vecchio was one of those things when... there was cop shows, and they'd just name the cop show after the guys.
After the cop.
After the cop, and his last name.
Beretta.
And that was it. They would just, even Cannon, I think his last name was Cannon.
Oh,
I
was my favorite Cannon move was he was so fat he would just hit guys with a phone.
Yeah.
He would make them come close to him and just brain them with a phone.
I always like Leno had a joke. Was the first guy to get his ass kicked would be the first guy I called Cannon fat. Come on, fat man. He didn't help himself because he'd wear a safari jacket. Like, fat guys had a way of dressing. One thing, my kids are going to be deprived of many things.
There was
in their
no
childhood.
DXL back then.
Well, first off, everyone is fat now, so we're deprived.
Right.
All right. When I grew up, there was one kid with one leg that was shorter than the other, and he had to wear the Vans or the K-Swiss or the Adidas with the Adelief at the bottom on it. And for some reason, that guy always made you feel a little bit better, because no matter what was going on in your life, you'd just go see Tommy Higgins and you'd see that weird shoe he was wearing. And you'd be like, all right, I shouldn't be complaining about riding a Huffy instead of a Schwinn or whatever. That guy's more. No kid has the short leg anymore. It's all been corrected. And fat guys had fat guy outfits. Now everyone's wearing cargo shorts or sweatpants or sweat jacket or hoodie or something. Right. Just fat guys are wearing the same thing we're wearing, just a bigger version of it. Cannon had, find me a picture of Cannon in the like, he had the raincoat, but with like the belly protruding. Yeah. I don't think he tied it off like they tie it off. You know, they don't use the belt in the raincoat.
Why would he choose, I guess the wardrobe people choose to emphasize the pot belly?
Guys had a fat guy hat.
There you go,
Dom DeLuise.
It was a look.
And they had a fat guy jacket and they had fat guy outfits.
And could the Conrads be further apart? You had William Conrad.
Oh.
And then you had Robert Conrad, who could fit inside William Conrad maybe two times.
Yeah, anyone who watched Battle of the Network Stars knew Bob Conrad was a hell of a competitor with like 4% body fat.
He literally went after Gabe Kaplan. He literally chased him down to argue a point in Battle of the Network Stars.
One of the greatest moments of television history, and I use no hyperbole, is Gabe Kaplan came across as Ichabod Crane-Jew, like just sort of the gawk, you know, just gangly and uncoordinated and the opposite of an athlete. Robert Conrad was one of these actors that played kind of a tough guy and then was kind of a tough guy. Not Robert Conrad.
Robert Conrad.
Oh, it was Robert Conrad.
Yeah, William was the
other one. Right. So they do Battle the Network Stars, and there was a big controversy at the end. Like, oh, it's a tie. It's a win. It's a win for NBC. No, CBS tied them. And they just decided, you and Gabe Kaplan, you who's sort of Robert Conrad was like most athletic in high school with the chiseled chin and the broad shoulders and everything. And the tough guy had a little Napoleon complex in him, but a lot of words. Think Danny Bonaducci is a non-smoker.
Oh, wow. Right.
Of course.
And he's going against the guy at the
voice of an angel,
the Jufro, who's
translucent skin,
all elbows and a bad mustache. Yeah. And they just finally just go, we're going to settle this. One lap around the track. It's a race. It's a one-lap race around Pepperdine. It's a quarter mile. Whoever wins takes home the thing. It's like, Robert Conrad's going to crush him. Look at him. And they take off, and Robert gets out to a lead, and Gabe Kaplan just runs him down and goes around him and just wins the whole thing.
Sweet.
One saw it coming.
It was a great moment in television history. That and like Barbie Benton in the dunk tank. Like they put all the hot chicks in the Linda Carter in the dunk tank.
I did an evening at the Improv that Robert Conrad hosted, and he was talking to the comics, and he's short. He's like the size of Prince. And he's talking to the comics before we go out, and his big inspiration before he went out to open the show was to turn to us. At the door, he turns at the door and he goes, "All right, boys, semper fi."
And he just walks out. Good thing he doesn't take this too seriously.
Our spines almost straightened for a moment, but then we realized we're comics. And
right,
it's over.
The Gary, you can probably find that last lap on YouTube. Also.
I'm sorry, I'm deep in Cannon search over here.
Oh,
last lap.
Battle the Network Stars. You got to figure out.
Cannon wore the safari coat that made him look like a war photographer who was about to quit.
Yeah, he looked like the only other guy that wore the coat worse was Indianapolis 500 great Andy Granatelli.
Andy Granatelli with the turbine.
Yeah, he ended up packing on 200 pounds from the time he drove an Indy car to the time he started Tune-Up Masters. Yeah. And he would go, you know, it's a weird thing. It's like seeing a huge blobs in front of you and go, ex-Chinese gymnast. And you're like, what? So ex-IndyCar race. Like it was this huge guy, couldn't possibly fit in an IndyCar. So now we got to find fat Andy Granatelli. And now we got to find William Conrad. And now we got to find Battle of the Network Stars. So Night at the Improv.
Yeah, Evening at the Improv.
Evening at the Improv is when they would get celebrities to host.
Uh-huh.
And
they would write them like five jokes. They would go out and deliver these jokes, and most of the time you could understand why they were then actors and not comedians. And so then they would just
bring up the comedians. Right. So you'd see like Mike Farrell from MASH, he'd go out there and do stand up, but it would never really work because it wasn't his jokes, and he wasn't stand up.
It's just off. Nowadays, when I make love, the stiffest thing on me is my back. You know, like all wrong.
A couple of courtesy laughs.
Yeah.
Right. And so you were performing.
Yeah.
And Robert was hosting.
Right.
The opposite of funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Was hosting that night.
Exactly. And, the only thing that there's five guys in the green room and we're all thinking, this gets me $500 closer to healthcare. That's all. That's all this is. It's just a healthcare run.
All right. So we started off by, the Italians. Yes. We're going all the way back to Jews.
Italians,
Jews played Indians and Italians. Mm-hmm. And now we've reclaimed our mantle. Although Indians, I don't know if they're still playing Indians. Or maybe they're not.
I think Indians are playing Indians.
Well, weren't the Italians playing Indians with Iron Eyes Cody?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. And by the way, East American Indians, indigenous people, whatever, they're not in movies anymore. That's another thing.
Not nearly as much as they were.
My kid is not going to know what it's like. When I say Indians, it's Bollywood now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more.
I know this is too zoomed in, but this is the best we got so far.
There's more Aziz Ansari than there are Iron Eyes. We're looking at Big Robert. He was big for the 60s and 70s. That was
Shivas and Marlboros better than anything I've ever seen.
He has Phil's jowls.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like my dog. I got a black lab with those kind of jowls. Yeah, I like when the jowls go up and go around the orbital socket.
And that's the coat, too.
He's wearing the safari jacket or the raincoat, but we need to feed it full. But I'll go.
The picture says it's a safari coat.
That was his thing. People.
Fetching.
People wore safari outfits.
Dude, that's where Banana Republic started before it became high-end clothing. It was all those outdoor jungle stuff.
Right, with a small raincoat, rain hats.
Yeah. The pith helmets and all that stuff. It was a trend.
We'll find you Battle of the Network Stars. I had a moment, I work this way. So what I do is I study everyone's trends. I profile everyone. I make an assessment and accounting of everyone. And then if something strikes me as weird or out of character, I have to stop and investigate. That's my entire life. And today,
I have a lot of fat Andy, but I'm having trouble with the safari coat. I can continue looking, but if just fat Andy will
suffice. I'll see fat Andy Granatelli. I'll take a look at fat Andy Granatelli.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't have something in color with
That's
him?
That's sad.
That's how far back
the fattest
it was.
Ones are mostly black and white, but give me a moment.
Oh, really? The guy did Tune-Up Master commercials. He did TV commercials, this fat Andy Granatelli.
And just to know, we were looking at the rotund former race car driver was pouring champagne on himself.
And the thing about Indy cars is you can't fit in an Indy car. No, that's way too. Just go. Dawson will help you. Dawson helped the boy.
That's way too thin.
Yeah, you got to go find an Andy Granatelli Tune-Up Master commercial, and we'll see Fat Andy. Anyway, I had a couple thoughts. First off, we were talking the other day about donors and the DMV and organ donors and so on and so forth, which I like. How about this policy? Because I don't feel like enough people are organ donors. I just heard a story about a guy's daughter died, ended up saving four people. One guy with the heart transplant because she was a donor. Would you guys be down with this? I'm not down with big government, but how about this? If you, and I have, applied for a separate motorcycle license, you automatically check donor. on your license.
Like, you have to.
Yeah.
Because there's a
unless you must provide a note from your clergy.
Sure, from your rabbi.
Yeah, yeah, from whatever. But the de facto setting will be donor. When you go in for your class C or whatever the hell
like
it is, it'll be it. Now,
yeah.
if you would like to undo that,
yes.
you can say it goes against my religious beliefs or I have a plot picked out or whatever it is. But if nothing is said, you get a motorcycle or snowmobile license.
Yeah.
Or certain fishing license, an ice fishing license. We will just go donor. That'll be the de facto,
general,
and you can undo it if you don't want
to. As a general rule of life, I like the opt-out option when it comes to these public service kind of things. Like, this is how it's going to be. If you genuinely don't like it, you can opt out, but this is the default. Because most people won't care or know choose to.
With motorcycles, you're kind of getting, you might be getting factory second organs. I mean, when you splatter on a cycle, your spleen is already in two pieces.
Well, whatever we can get off you.
I don't think they're doing roadkill.
Case of a woman, some fallopian tubing.
It's more of a scavenger checkbox.
Either way, that's a good way to get some parts.
Yes, like
why not?
All right. Oh, we got Granatelli. Let's see.
Hi, I'm Andy Granatelli.
There's a coat.
Oh, my God.
That's why when you bring your car to tune-up,
how high is that belt?
Around his nipples.
Every tulip gets done one way, the Andy Granatelli way.
The super morbid obese way.
Millions of cars. We tune more cars in a month than most mechanics do in a lifetime. For my kind of tune-up at one guaranteed low price, you can trust Tune-Up Masters, or my name isn't Andy Granatelli.
My name isn't Fatty Fattarelli.
Wow.
Do you think like the wardrobe was like, yeah, with the jacket open, you look obese, but with the buckle up under your titties, you look morbidly obese.
Yeah,
so
right.
Let's go ahead and tighten that up and make sure we cinch it up so that your belly is pronounced underneath it. Like it bulges just a little bit.
We need to see something protruding from under the belt.
We can actually see his nipples through the coat.
Wow. All right. That was a good use of that. Now, and he didn't do the London fog thing where he tied it off.
Mm-mm.
Tied it off. All right. We got the last lap of
Battle of the Network.
Battle of the Network Stars. Boy, me and Jeff Cesari, we roll deep. I think that's part of the problem. We remember only the unimportant things from whenever. All right. So I'll get to this in a second. I'll get you to my profile. You guys always tell you about walking around, profiling,
sure.
Looking for things, trying to make sense of things. I'll give you a very satisfying, a simple but satisfying one from earlier today. First, I'll tell you about Blinds Galore, man. They got a 4th of July sale. It starts this week up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year, but it's ending soon, and hurry. The sale's going to end Thursday, July 6th. 100% custom-built window treatments made to your order. And expert customer care team is going to help you every step of the way. We use them over here. I use them in my house. We use them in the edit bays. We got some new offices over at the other warehouse. It's keeping the heat out, man. They've covered over 2 million windows, and it's all we use. LetBlindsGalore.com. Help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. Don't forget to check them out during their big 4th of July sale. These guys are simply the best. Treat yourself to something nice, something custom at a non-custom price. So you get up to 50% off of everything. That's blindsgalore.com. Let them know I sent you. We love these guys. Blindsgalore.com. I had my buddy Ray. My buddy Ray's one of my jerk-off loser buddies from high school, but I love him. And I had him over to do a little concrete work. And he was doing a little pitch on a shower slope and a shower pan. I won't get too technical, but he was working in the bathroom. And Ray and I have known each other for 40-something years, but we haven't worked together in a long time. Right. He hasn't worked on my house. I haven't worked on his apartment or any of that. But it'd been a while since Ray and I worked on anything, or I'd seen him work, but
it was like riding a bike.
He was nice enough to come over and do some work for me. And at some point I walked into the bathroom now the bathroom was just a slab, cement slab floor, and he's working on the shower pan. And I walked into it, and where he was working, I saw a black foam pad, the kind you might use for gardening or something. Or now back when I used to do it, everyone used to use knee pads, guys like us would use no knee pads. But now they have these little bring along portable little pads, black 3/4 inch thick, whatever. And there he was on the ground working. Now, Ray's a guy who does demolition either barefoot or flip flops, and never seen more, you know, protective goggles or ear coverings or, you know, protection or knee pads or gloves. Even I never would either. But I walked into the bathroom, and there he was, and I was just looking at him down on the ground on his pad, and I thought something's not right, and I thought maybe he's evolved, he's getting older. And he went out and bought himself a pad, and he uses it when he does this. And I thought, that's not the Ray I know. And I said, you got yourself a pad there, foam rubber pad to work on, huh? And
he said, yeah.
And I said, what's the story with that pad? And he said, oh, it's your welcome mat. I just brought it over here and flipped it over. And I said, pulled it right off my front porch, flipped it over, and was on the rubber side now. And I was like, snap focus. Just boom. Snap focus. Now, why would have questions about the pad? It's bizarre, because why I had questions about Fondalier. Like, whose tennis shoes are those? Like, why? I don't know. I walked in the bathroom and something wasn't right. And the answer wasn't, well, look, after years of working on my knees, I finally smartened up, and for $9.99, I bought one of these things. It was the best move. That's off the table. So now what could it be? Perfect answer.
Solve this mystery.
I took this thing from your front door. I've capsized the business end of it onto the mortar bed that we're working off of. Don't worry, I'll hose it off before I throw it back.
Yeah.
But it was all back.
It adds up.
Yeah. It adds up. It's perfect. And that's why you must do this all the time.
It had to be comforting. You know, you had to take a certain warm comfort in that.
It's comforting every time I bring something up and there is an answer.
Right, otherwise you're in the woods and you're like, which way's north?
Yeah. But why would I ask my assistant whose tennis shoes he was wearing? For some reason, I needed to know. It wasn't right. Why would I ask this guy, where did you get the pad that you use when you work every day on the ground and I haven't worked with you in years? Mm-hmm. But yet, I needed an answer.
You're trusting your animal instincts.
That's right. And then I urinated on him. And then I hugged my children. All right. Let's see. Oh, so we got to battle the network stars. Oh, maybe Chet Waterhouse could call it. Maybe that.
You know, there may be a call on it that you want.
Oh, Frank Gifford is probably.
You don't want to miss this.
He's probably calling it. Yeah. So what
Dick
was it? A relay at the end, Gary? And Robert Conrad was in the lead or something? Yeah, they settled it with a relay, but it came down to the two anchors, which was Gabe Kaplan and Robert Conrad.
From a family of nine, that's a all? World of courage. Gabe Kaplan.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all correct. Here we go.
They had the slow motion running with the bass plucking.
Wow. Oh, down.
Conrad down.
That's a blown baton exchange.
Now there's, we're looking at, this is good pod, by the way. Robert Conrad takes off and with purpose, right? That guy's running like a maniac. Gabe Kaplan gets the baton. This is some sort of bizarre musical montage of this, Gary, that's not really reading correctly.
There wasn't a ton of options.
There is one on there that you
some
can
kind of technical like. Snafu. We'll be right back with you.
Let's see. After Brandon, 27, wants to know, what would be the worst animal drunk?
Ooh.
Is Ray count?
Yeah.
Ray's on the top five.
There's a part of you that thinks Wolverine, and then there's a part of you that thinks, well, Wolverine would just attack you anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe if it's drunk, it's just start complaining about its old lady.
Giraffe. I'm going to go giraffe because they have no defense mechanism whatsoever. They got a 14-foot neck and then a body of a water buffalo and ballerina legs. So, they got to have a great personality, giraffes.
You got to figure.
And then if they get drunk, they're going to snap, and who knows what they can do.
Well, you're right. Not only would they whack their head on a million freeway overpasses, like if they got, I'm assuming they're drinking outside of the zoo.
We're going downtown. Slap, whack.
But also with the crazy tongue of theirs, I bet they'd be screwing around and sticking it in everyone's ear.
Yeah, like
just boom. Pow.
Okay, let's talk to Brandon because he may have some parameters. Maybe it's are we at a party? Are we at a bar?
We're on ARC. What's going on?
No real parameters with that. I think it does make sense that you're outside the zoo. I mean, they don't really serve booze there to the giraffes or anything. So
right.
Probably somewhere out where they do have a liquor license of some kind. But other than that, really no parameters. The giraffe, that's a savvy call.
You know what, though? I think it would chill, like you said about the Wolverine, alcohol would sedate a lot of these. They would chill them out. I think the deadliest is the elephant. It's stumbling. Once it's down hard. Yeah. It can't get back up.
Yeah.
A real dude maintains situation.
Has to drink like a barrel of Captain Morgan in order just to get a buzz going because of
that
its size.
Yeah.
I think the most dangerous would be the three-toed tree sloth because it's like he had a cap full of Manischewitz and died. Like his heart died. Like he was almost at a stop sober.
He depressed his blood pressure so
he
much.
He took a thimble of Manischewitz and he had one hit off a wine cooler and just stopped. Like just literally came to, and no one knew it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He'd been in the same spot for 9 hours. No one said anything.
Hey, you're going to pee. You've been there for 9.5 hours.
Yeah. And when they're sober, they really do grab their own arm in trees and fall to their deaths.
Oh,
so
really?
Imagine drunk what they'd be like.
Yeah, the Wolverine.
It's weird that the world's laziest animal is also the world's best climber. Because the lazy people I know, like Andy Granatelli, he doesn't climb trees. He's landlocked,
he's
man. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's land strapped.
He's
literally strapped down.
Strapped
to the ground.
In the hood of land.
The thing about the Wolverine and the dangerous animals like that is like they could just become morose, like you said. Like, woe is me.
What does it mean anyway?
Drinking makes you sloppy, and so I'm worried about like a grizzly bear because that thing is not just fangs, but it's claws, and he doesn't know his own strength. And next thing you know, every time he goes to slap you, hey, it's a good one, buddy.
They invented a hug after him
that
your drunken buddies do when they're drunk.
He puts you in his bear hug drunk, and it's
you get all revenant.
Although the elephant can take out a lot more people in the Velvet Lion outside.
That's true.
Right. It's a good point.
In the VIP lounge.
I love the idea of the Wolverine getting morose.
Morose Wolverine?
Yeah, like, you know, you heard of Michigan, right?
Of course,
University of Michigan?
Yeah.
They've been using my name for like 70 years.
What the heck?
Do you think I got one ticket to one homecoming?
I would imagine you probably got your 50 yard line seats, bro.
No.
All
not
the glory goes to the freaking Badger.
I love the Badger.
Oh, yeah, they got Oga down there in Georgia. That Bulldog is just in a graduate 30
He's in every game, and don't get me started on the Buffalo.
Ralphie?
Ralphie's in every game.
That guy's a jerk, man.
Having a good authority, he's banging his trainer. You know, that hot blonde chick with all the energy, it runs him out in the spats.
Yeah, he likes being on that
chaps.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Morose, self-loathing Wolverine.
Tom Brady, not that good.
Not
backed up Drew Henson at college. Not really good.
Big deal.
By the way, maize and gold is blue, douche.
Yeah.
No one knows what maize is.
Corn.
Or blue and maize. Or which one's the gold?
It's blue and maize.
Blue and maize. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's called gold.
But you're drunk, so you don't know.
What are we, Indian? Yeah. Make a point. Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still, man.
Right.
I eat gophers like popcorn shrimp.
What the hell is a Buckeye anyway?
Yeah,
hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
Does that do it for you?
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to answer that stupid question. Question. How would a giraffe do a keg stand?
Oh,
I
think he'd bring the mountain to Mohammed.
You'd have to
feel like the keg would go on top, and it'd be as big a spectacle to see that keg go 18 feet.
The keg's like, I'm going to do a giraffe stand.
That's right. All right, shall we...
keg catapult.
Shall we do a little Chet Waterhouse?
Sure.
Yeah. Do we have a...
we do.
Yeah. By the way, you can shoot Jeff a tweet at RealJeffCesario, and dates coming up, man. Friday, June 30th at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Also, July 14th, Luther Burbank Center for the Arts in Santa Rosa. Oh, sorry, Luther Burbank Center for the Arts in Santa Rosa. There you go.
That's
and
Brian
with the great
Regan.
Brian Regan. Yeah, we love him. Website, Jeff Cesario. That's C-E-S-A-R-I-O. C-E-S-A-R-I-O.
It's a weird name.
Only like an Italian.
Right. All right.
Let me take my time with this.
Sorry. Here we go.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Wrap-Up, brought to you by Bananas, the banana guaranteed to ripen tomorrow. NBA Draft, Philadelphia busier than defibrillator paddles in Palm Springs. Timberwolves like John Mayer threatening to become relevant. Golden State said, you know what, we're good. Knicks drafted a French guy, Adam, so look for a smoking area in the locker room. New York's November game with the Celtics is now Merlot night at the Garden. This just in, Knicks owner Jim Dolan sending GM Phil Jackson to Tibet for a tune-up. That draft wrap-up brought to you by Hypnosis. Get rid of those redneck tendencies once and for all with Hypnosis. NASCAR at Sonoma, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. rammed his girlfriend Danica Patrick in the tail end. She finished, he didn't. That is both a race result and an FCC violation. Golf! Jordan Spieth slam dunks a sand shot to win the Travelers, then tried to chest bump his caddy and crushed his own femur. Baseball! Dodgers win 10 in a row. They're harder to stop than mildew in Charlie Sheen's hot tub. That item brought to you by Minterview, the mouthwash that makes you want to spill the beans. If you want to catch more of me, I'll be in Indio, California this weekend with my buddies Taft Hartley and PJ Bottoms, calling all the live music action, Adam, for Assisted Living Palooza. Doubleheader today, Rupert Holmes and Ambrosia. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Chet Waterhouse, everybody. And let's see.
I like the transitions. NASCAR.
It just great. Screams them.
And will you please remind me of my favorite sponsorship?
Pandemonium. Get rid of your diarrhea in one chaotic blast with Pandemonium. And a new sponsor this week for you musicians, Conundrums, the drum set no one can figure out.
I think you got one more there.
Leather and LASIK. An eye job's not the only job you'll get at Leather and LASIK.
I just could listen to those all day long.
Tell them Incognito.
Oh, Incognito.
This portion of the broadcast brought to you by Incognito. You'd never guess we're plumbers.
All right, you got one more?
That update brought to you by the China Tourism Board. Come for the fun and leave with a sense of dread at China.
All right, let's see. A couple more calls and we'll bring in Tom Arnold. Matt, 32, Idaho.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, so I've met this girl online a few months ago, and she's actually moving out here this week. She's sent ahead with her stuff, and she's flying. She's a veterinarian, and so she, of course, has animals. She's got a dog and a cat. And
hold on. Is she cute?
Yeah, very cute.
All right, you met You met the one hot chick who at age 9 announced she was going to work with animals and be a veterinarian and actually did it.
She got follow through.
Because the other ones get handed an organic chemistry book when they're 16 and go, oh, screw
maybe
that.
Maybe Starbucks is the way to go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty close to a veterinary school here up at Wazoo, and it's not like the softball team, but it's kind of like the volleyball team, like that kind of level of quality.
Volleyball team.
I'll take the volleyball team.
Yeah. I saw Top Gun.
My wife is a volleyball player.
Volleyball.
Yeah. All right.
You get the tall chicks.
So,
but, yeah. So she's flying out and she's registered her dog as a service animal. And he's not a big dog. He's kind of medium sized, not a Philly cheesesteak. But so I was like, oh, man, that's kind of a tell. That's kind of, you know, bad sign. But she said, hey, I bought the entire row of first class on my way to BC. So she's going to visit her parents in Vancouver before she comes down to Idaho.
All right, now hold on a second. She has that much money that you can... When you say
three
the entire
seats?
Row, yeah. Is it two seats or three seats? Because buying an extra seat is one thing, but yeah, it's always two seats in first class.
Even if it's two.
That's still a...
Two.
If she has her own practice and she's single, she's probably got some money.
I know.
She doesn't. She's actually an intern.
Oh,
so I don't know where she. I think her parents are well off. I mean, they do live in like downtown Vancouver, which is like
Okay. Oh, yeah. You got to be making $300,000 to live in downtown.
Yeah. You want to be next to Jean-Claude Van Damme? You better, and Seth Rogen? Mm-hmm. You better ante up.
So my question is it still douchey, or did she balance it off enough? She is moving, so it's not like she could just leave her dog at home. She's a veterinarian, so I don't know if that helps count. And
it helps.
Went out of her way
buying
to buy
a seat, being a veterinarian, but moving, I think everyone doesn't leave their pet behind. Uh-huh. Are you suggesting that the alternative would be just leave the pet in the house?
Well, I mean, she could put him down below, obviously. But she's a veterinarian. I mean, she's obviously, she cares for animals enough that she doesn't want to treat them like cargo, I guess. So
why is she interested in you, Matt? I have a bigger picture question, Matt.
That is a good question.
What do you bring
to
the table?
I make her laugh. A lot of hot volleyball jokes.
That wears off. And you're doing what for a living? Besides judging the students of the veterinary college?
I'm actually a media production. I do videography editing for a media advertising agency.
All right. Is it working okay?
It's not too bad. I love the work. It's long hours, though. It's like 12-hour days. But, okay. You know, it's
all right.
It's good.
We marry her.
Sure.
Yeah. Don't judge her. Marry
also,
her.
Also,
you know, she's we're burying the lead a little bit. She's courteous enough or conscientious enough to be like, you know what? I'm not going to bother all the people in the seats with her. I'm going to buy these two seats and
totally
keep it
to
myself.
If you really think about it. But if you're walking your ass way back at the last seat of coach and you see a woman with her little Mr. Whisker sitting next to her and that seat's been bought, don't you think she looks like kind of a bitch?
Did I hear it wrong? Did I hear first two in first class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not walking to the back of the...
No, but if you're passing through just to get to your seat and you're kind of side-eye judging, that's quite a judgment you're laying
more,
on.
More worrisome is the flight attendant looking at you going, oh, don't think I won't drag you off this just because you got two seats. I'll take you right out of here.
I'm thinking about how much money you could save. My last Labrador Molly probably cost me $25,000 of all the surgeries and the cancers and all that kind of stuff. And if you're living with someone who can, you know, get out a butter knife and you can just sterilize it over the open flame of the burner in the kitchen and go to town.
It's value added.
Yeah. That is value added.
That's a good point.
Big
back to
time.
Zero.
All right, one more and then we'll get
to incidentally, Matt's call brought to you by Mississippi Deltalax. Constipation giving you the blues, say bye, bye, bye you to irregularity with Mississippi Deltalax.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Austin, 30, from Oklahoma City.
To tag on to Brandon's question, before I get to my actual question, in the Marines, we had an ongoing debate, 30 unarmed Marines versus one silverback gorilla in the infantry. Who would win?
Mm-hmm.
Physical contest.
Let's not bring race into this. But keep going.
And then my question is, I've been tweeting you for some time about a band called Punch Brothers, and I just wondered if you'll give them a listen.
I will. We listen to them
right
now.
There's a song called My Oh My.
Is this one of their
oh
hits?
Oh My Oh My.
Oh
yeah.
My Oh My.
Yeah.
Okay. You're way off, right?
Not what Spotify says, but that's it.
Chick's got chops.
She's got a raspy voice.
This has a real opening of Beetlejuice, Tim Burton vibe.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, I like it.
Listen to
everyone.
Austin?
Yeah.
I feel like this is really good music, but when you were a grunt, if you put this on, you might get one of those cot bunk pillow soap beatings, you know, where they put all the soap bars
in the pillowcase.
Oh, I remember.
You might go Full Metal Jacket.
I remember.
Yeah.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
Yeah, that could get your ass kicked in this man's army.
It's like getting the barracks fired up.
Yeah.
You don't really have a chance to go, wait, it gets better.
Yeah.
wait for
it takes a while to warm up.
Yeah. Talking too good for you, Private Pile? Come on.
Talking.
All right,
isn't
Austin.
It pronounced Dokin?
Dokin, as Mike August would call it. He had a 1-2 punch. What was it? He had Dokin.
And Smashing Dumplings were coming in or something like that. He screwed up two. It wasn't great. A Cinderella. Oh, was
Striper?
It? No, I think it was another name.
Yeah.
It's another.
I remember D.L. Hewley at the time, but that's not what you're talking
about. D.L. Hewley.
He stands by
D.L. Hewley.
You're talking about a band?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, he had
Dokken.
Dokken. With the former drummer from Nervosa was coming in. Like he had a 1-2. He had a 1-2 screw it up punch. I love it when that happens, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, think about it. Jeff Cesario, everybody. Go to Jeff Cesario. I told you how to spell it. .com to find out about any live shows where Jeff's going to be playing and all kinds of events and writing for shows and everything else. I love it. Tom Arnold will be in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Geico, man. You got a to-do list? How about it? How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Who wouldn't want to do that? Save some extra money by just going to geico.com, spending a couple of few minutes, and save yourself 15% or more on your auto insurance just by clicking around at Geico. Geico.com. All right, Tom Arnold out there. And he'll be right in here right after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Spike Ferguson from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I listen in the job and always make the podcast my last of the day, cause no matter how crappy my day has been, I'll be logging when the work day.
Well, that's a mouthful. Thanks, Oz. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. And maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tom Arnold is here. Tom Arnold has a podcast called Tom Arnold 100% Honest, pretty much. New episodes every week on iTunes. Be sure and leave a nice five-star review. But I did not know what Tom was plugging, and I look down and I see Battle of the Network Stars.
Ah, oh, my God.
I thought that was the tie-in.
No, oh, Jeff Cesario just started bringing up Robert Conrad, and that's where I remember. Now you have to find the famous Robert Conrad, Gabe Kaplan runoff
at
Pepperdine.
Funny. Yes, we did it at Pepperdine.
You did it?
Yeah.
It's like they did it all those years ago.
Because I loved it all those years ago, and I used to watch it with my dad, and they had, like, Howard Cosell was on it,
right.
And they used to have actual big stars on it, and now they have me.
And Ronda Rousey, come on.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, but she's a coach. And I had a good thing with her, though. You know, when you redo a show, you have to improve it. Mm-hmm. So instead of a dunk tank, which they had the original, they had a super dunk tank. So I was 40 foot high on a perch above the Pepperdine pool, and Joey Lawrence, another star, was on the other team, and he had a softball, and he had hit a thing that was about 5 feet away to knock me off of there and fall into the water, right? But the guy that created the original show said, hey, you could give him a hard time so to make him nervous so he doesn't hit you. You could give him a bunch of crap. So I started in on him about playing my son in the show and how his mom is going to hate him if he knocks me in the water, and his brother's going to hate him because his brother was my son, and I'm a family member, and I played silly string with him when he was a kid, and I started in on him so bad that he started crying.
Really?
And he was sweating so much, and he's bald now. You could tell. And he got so nervous. He's such a nice boy that he was shaking, and he couldn't throw the ball. And I was so mean. I might have way overdone it. And then Ronda Rousey was their coach, and she picked up the ball and just hit it and knocked me 40 feet into the pool, which is illegal, I want to say, because she's a coach.
This is this Thursday, June 9th,
right,
at 9 p.m. on I don't have the network.
ABC. But here's what I did. So I swim to the side of the pool, and she's pretending like she's going to help me out. And I'm like, yeah, she's going in the pool because I outweigh her by 100 pounds. So I grab her by the shoulders,
Rhonda.
and I got the leverage because I'm coming out of the pool. Mm-hmm. And she picks me straight up out of the pool and body slams me on the cement. I swear to God, it was awesome.
It's all caught on camera?
Yeah, yes. And I just about married her right there because I love when women are super mean to me. And it was amazing. She's great.
Again, yeah, ABC, it was on plan. Thursday night.
And I went to DeMarcus Ware. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Football player. By the way, when I was first on Best Dance Sports Show, period, Michael Strahan was a rookie. And I could tell, man, this guy's got a career after football. He's made, and DeMarcus Ware is one of these guys that you could tell. So I went to DeMarcus Ware, who's a great big guy, who'll probably be in the Hall of Fame. And I said, hey, did you see what their coach did to me? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, then you need to go do something. You need to show
DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, no. She'll do it to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was afraid of her.
He's a big cookie, man.
Yeah, he's a giant.
Tom, not only that, so we got a million things to talk about.
Yeah, we have one really important thing.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, I know you're a boxer.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm a boxer, the Hebrew Hammer. I think I stole my boxing name from you.
And no, I was just the Hammer.
Yeah, I know, but I added Hebrew.
There's a movie called The Hebrew Hammer.
I know. I love the movie. I've said to everybody I know. But I took that, and when I have celebrity boxing things to raise money for charity, I have the Hebrew Hammer on my jersey and on my thing. And when Freddie Rose trains me, I have Hebrew Hammer, which I stole directly from you because you're the Hammer. And I've raised a lot, hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity.
Well, I'm in for a taste because every Jew's got to wet his beak, man.
Right, that's true.
Who that movie star? Was that Adam?
Adam Gold?
I want to say Adam Gold. You never heard of Hebrew Hammer?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with boxing, but I want to say Adam Gold for some reason.
Pimp, yeah.
Adam Goldberg, yeah, there you go. All right, sorry.
But I really stole from you because I loved your movie.
I'm glad you loved The Hammer.
And, you know I loved it. And I loved your stand-up movie, too. It was too real, though.
Road Hard.
It was sad.
Did you get depressed?
Yeah. The smoking, when you lost your...
Yeah.
You lost it, there was a lot of real moments in there that are, when you're on the road, you don't want to watch it on the road. Let me put it this way.
Point.
You may slit your wrists.
Banned from hotel rooms.
No.
Too realistic.
If you're a comedian on the road, you want to watch it in your home. Anyway, it's great. It's great. I love the Paul Newman doc and everything else. I'm on the internet. I know you're right wing. And so,
I'm not right wing.
I know, but
I'm just not left wing.
And I'm not either.
I'm liberal.
I worked at a meat packing plant for 3 years. I'm a gun owner. I'm a hunter. I worked at, you know, but this guy that, is very, white power guy, challenged me to a fight named Mike Surovich.
Yeah, I heard about this.
He wrote this book, The Gorilla, whatever. He believes that rape should be legal, whatever. And so I said, well, let's get it on. Let's do it.
You know what I tell him? If it was legal, it wouldn't be rape.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
It'd be sex.
That's right.
You love rape, right? You would legalize it. Well, it's not rape anymore.
I would have thought about it like that.
You're taking away something you love.
Oh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And listen, by the way, I've raised horses. And technically, I have, you know, you got to make horses have sex sometimes. Mm. By helping them because they don't want to.
Yeah.
So I've at least molested male horses.
I took this piece of information to heart and I found out the hard way. They have to be your horses. You can't just pull over in horse country.
Yeah. No, I was told.
Get busy.
Yeah, they can't. But you put on special gloves for that.
Okay.
Fluffy gloves. You don't just do it. Anyway,
so
this guy, Zach's real tough. He does the thing. I said, okay, I will box you and we'll give the money to this Gold Star Family Charity, Legacies Alive, that I've been talking to. And I bet we can make 500 grand because I made 300 grand when I beat up my rabbi. I mean, boxed my rabbi, which we're getting a clip of.
To be fair, he was eyeballing you from
well,
the pulpit.
Well, no, he's the badass rabbi. That's the thing. For the Bet Teshuvah youth addict thing.
It was, well, he's not so tough cause. Anymore, is he?
Well, yeah, I went too far. Dax threw in the towel.
Dax Shepard.
Dax was my quarterman. And the rabbi hit me first in the chin. Wow. You know how when you get hit in the chin, you all of a sudden react really quick? Mm-hmm. I gave him three quick ones, and Dax threw in the towel, and I go, "Why'd you do that?" He goes, "Oh no, you have to lose right now." I go, "Why? I'm winning." He goes, "That's the point. You've humiliated him. You have to lose immediately."
Is there footage of this?
Yes, they're looking for it.
Well, after you find Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, what's that?
A version of that. But yeah.
Anyway,
hold on. Let Gary say
the
what
Jeff Cernovich thing. The only one we've found so far. The audio is really not going to do anyone a service to play. But we're working on
Cernovich. Yeah,
the audio. The only
he's talking about a fight with a rabbi.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have audio?
Is it the Beverly Hilton?
Video of that?
Is it the Beverly Hilton?
Pulling it up now.
Well, if he's talking about boxing a guy and punching him in the chin, and I go, "Do you have video of that?" That'll be what I'm talking about.
Search for the Hebrew hammer. Hammer's a Hebrew.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
I'll probably bring it up.
You know, okay. But the Cernovich. So anyway, he challenged me, and I said, "Well, let's do it, and we'll set it up." And then this guy named Free Jesse James is his handle on Twitter. He goes, "I will sub for you. I will kick his fat ass." I said, "Okay." I go, "Are you waving?" Because there's a lot of Jesse James.
Yeah.
"Are you the Jesse James that cheated on his amazing wife with the hooker with the swastika tattoo and ruined his life and lost his family?" And it turns out it is.
Same guy.
Yeah. And he was.
Yes or no question.
So I get all these trolls trolling me.
But I feel like that could have been a lot of guys I know.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
A lot of Jesse James.
Yeah.
Yeah. Valley.
And then all these trolls are trolling me. But he again, there's this person that's challenged me. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, that's better yet because I'll get more people to watch the fight because mm-hmm. people know who you are."
Right.
So I'll do all the legwork. Give me a date. We'll set this up. You know, you're younger. He keeps saying how much younger he is, better shape, and he'll kick my butt. Perfect. Perfect. Just show up for the fight. We'll make $500,000 for the charity. Gold Star Families. Done. And so I need you to help me. And now they're disappearing on me. But if you see on Twitter, you know, they're wussing out.
All right, so we need you guys to put pressure on those guys to
because they're acting real tough. See, here's the thing. What my wife said, they won't fight you because they will lose.
Hold on, wife gets to talk.
Well, she doesn't like violence.
She slipped a note under the bathroom door.
She doesn't like any of the violence, and she's also like, they have everything to lose by fighting you because when they lose, then they can't be tough. Their whole brand is tough guys.
I don't know. I mean, Tom, I feel like married to Roseanne,
right.
Tough, worked at the Hormel factory, tough.
I know I am, but these guys are branded as tough guys.
You have other things going for you.
Right. Yeah.
Just being a tough guy.
Yeah, and these guys, all their fans are like, "You will kill Tom. Get him in there. He's old. He's fat.
Well,
he's
Tom,
stupid."
Tom, do you, I have focus pads here and boxing gloves here.
Right.
If you want to throw a little technique. I'll hold them for you.
Oh, I mean, I would love to trade with you.
I
want to get it. You know,
I'll give you a couple rounds.
Yeah,
a few minutes.
Yeah,
you want to set that up or try that?
Are we going to do that now?
Yeah, it's spontaneous. I mean, you can loosen up a little and all
but
that
I,
stuff.
My theory on this is just you know because I'm it's just to go for it. I mean, just start. You know, I'm not sure I have that much. I do a lot of cardio, but it's much like in a bar fight. You just got to get it quick.
Yeah,
well, you want some technique, right?
Well, I guess.
Well, let's watch you with the rabbi.
Yeah.
You can go to adamcarolla.com.
Well, I went down, you know, I trained a little bit with Freddie Roach. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's the best.
But I also watched a real boxer, James Toney.
James Lights Out Toney.
And he hit me in the stomach once.
Yeah.
And it about killed me. he hit me gently in the stomach.
Gary, do you have this fight for us to watch?
That rabbi was in prison, I want to say. He's known as the badass rabbi.
Tom is mauling the man.
And that's Dax.
You got Dax, you got an A-list celebrity to corner you.
What's that?
What'd you tell Tom just now?
To kill him. Take no prisoner.
This way. That's why he's got to even. That's after he. I'd push
he
him
shouldn't
too many
be
times.
Turning his back to
yeah.
you that way.
Well, that's after I. I'm like, what? What? That's after I hit him in the face three times. I'm like, what? Dax threw in. I didn't know what was wrong. I thought we were having a fight.
Did they stop it there?
Yeah, well, Dax threw in the towel.
Oh, and they don't
yeah, because he felt sorry for the rabbi.
He sent a real mixed message to
not
you.
Not a good corner man.
Kill him and
get... I had to send the rabbi's wife flowers. And we were raising money for his rehab center.
Yeah, he wants to knock out drugs or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he is a great rabbi. He's a great guy.
Tom.
And I thought he was, I thought we were out of.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get back here. So yeah. we can hit the pads a little bit if you like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to work up too much of a sweat, but
that's all right.
I'd like to come in and get with
all
you.
All right. We'll do another time.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I'd like to really have you teach me a few things.
I could.
You know,
I could, because I hate rabbis. I don't like charity.
No.
I just hate those goddamn rabbis.
No. Here's the thing.
Stinking
here's
Jews.
The thing.
Think they know it all.
Here's the thing.
If and it, I want you to unleash on rabbis. And I will train you as long as you concuss rabbis. I don't know about the charity. I don't care about the charity.
What I want you to do is say to these two guys,
leaders
to Jesse
Jews.
James and this Mike Servant, that they're wussies for not fighting me. They're small. They're younger than me.
Yes.
And it's for charity, and they challenge me publicly.
All right.
And other
you guys
people.
Fight Tom Arnold, please, simultaneously in a parking
I'll
lot.
I'll fight him one at a time, and then Alex Jones will fight for free. And,
that'd be great.
And for real. And I'm older than them. What are they afraid of?
Hepatitis?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Staph infections?
Maybe.
Yeah. But if you challenge somebody on the internet and say, I will fight you for, you know, whatever, would you back up your words?
I would. If I made that assertion, I would.
Because you're a man of your word.
Most of the time. I try not to say things that I don't follow up or do.
But that's what these guys did.
All right. Well, okay. they're not
real men.
They don't have the intestinal fortitude you have.
Even that's right.
James Lysaw Tony tried to bruise it.
They don't have the intestinal fortitude that
Tom Arnold
had.
How much, now what was going on with the drugs and the addiction and Dr. Drew? He was in here.
Yeah,
I was talking to him.
Dr. Said, Drew, here's the thing. As you know, he's a very smart man. About 2 months ago, I had him on my podcast and we're just chit chatting and I'm asking him a lot of questions about detoxing from benzos.
Right.
Like an unusual amount of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, I was trying to detox myself from benzos and I was too.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
I was too ashamed to admit it. But I thought, well, I could handle this.
Right.
Benzos are the class of drugs of Xanax, Ativan, Valium. They're prescribed for anxiety, sleeping disorder, whatever. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't get off of them. Like, I'd be off for a week and I'd still be shaking.
What was the regimen? Yeah, so you talking to Dr. Drew about detoxing off of benzos is like me talking to my wife about how would you poison a spouse? But hypothetically,
but
how would you? You watch a lot of those ABC murder mysteries.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught, but you also, you know, want to get the job done effectively.
But he also said it's the worst detox ever. He kept saying that. Oh, it's terrible.
Mr. Sunshine,
you know,
I know.
I was like, oh, damn. And then he said, hey, you know, Jackson, when does Jackson turn 4? That's my son. And I said, well, in a month. Oh, boy, that's going to be hard for you.
Oh.
I go, why? He goes, well, because 4 was when everything fell apart in your life. It's when your mom left, turned you over to the pedophile. You know, that's going to be a really hard time for you. I go, well, you know, I've already confronted the pedophile. I have stopped him from adopting boys. I confronted him face to face.
That's the greatest story ever.
Yeah, so it's done.
And to be fair to your mom, she was turning you over to a guy named Frank. He didn't go by the pedophile,
to be fair to her. His name was Terry.
Okay.
Terry Williams. Anyway, but I had also taken care of it.
Hey, we should fight him, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I found he's. I think he's dead.
Okay.
But 30 other guys after I did it, you know, came including his old brother.
Four was the year.
Yeah, and he said that when he turns 4, it's going to affect you. And I thought, that's psychiatrist bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, at his 4th birthday party, I did look at my son and realize, oh, shit. You know, in the back of my mind, I guess I'd always thought, well, maybe it happened to me because I was a bad kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because isn't it easier to blame yourself a little bit for stuff?
Well, I think you have to make sense of things that don't make sense.
Right.
And the only way you can make sense of things, it's like a weird spell. It's like when somebody says their name and you go, what's your name? And they go, Panice. And you go, Denise? Because you can only do what you know.
Right, yeah, right,
and so
right.
When you're being molested or victimized, you make sense of it the only way you can right. make
why,
sense
Panice,
of
it.
Nope, nope, yeah. nope, right. nope.
And I also, you know, I'm 6'2", I weigh 235. For some reason, I saw myself as that big when I was 4.
Yeah.
So I look in the mirror now, I'm like, well, that, you know. But when he turned 4, I looked at him, and he's a big 4-year-old, but he's a 4-year-old. And he's a baby, and he is perfect. And I realized, oh, shit, I was perfect.
Your
like
son.
Him. Yeah. And these horrible things happened to him.
Oh, I mean, you happened
to me,
imagine.
Happened to me, and I was like him, and that was just too much. So I upped, I'm my own doctor by now on the benzos. So I upped my dosage, you know, of course, and then it became. I started being a little crazy. Also, I'd heard stories of men in my group, who had committed suicide suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
On benzos. I had a friend, Tony Scott, who's a famous director and very nice guy.
Jumped off a bridge,
yeah,
right?
No, but Tuesday night, I'm talking, everything's fine. I got the benzos under control. I just had dinner with his family. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. Everything's under control. He's starting a movie Thursday. You know, everything is beautiful. He's one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. Thursday morning, he drives us to Long Beach, climbs the pier of that fucking bridge, jumps off of it to his death.
Yeah, Drew has been talking about this a lot. And by the way, Drew has he has no bedside manner. I know that speech where he said, when Jax turns 4, it's going to remind you. He gave me the speech when my son, Sonny, was born. He said, when he turns 0 to 31, you're going to be miserable.
Miserable,
because your whole goddamn life was miserable until you met Jimmy Kimmel.
but you know, Chris Cornell. And I should have. Something should have clicked in my head when a guy I knew that well, suddenly that happened to him. And what I figure happened to him is probably Wednesday night, he was like, you know what? I got to sleep tonight because tomorrow morning I got a production meeting. I'm going to take a benzo. And he took, and it was that one benzo that triggered. I think when you take benzos in the back of your mind, you subconsciously plan your own suicide like a movie. You're not suicidal, but it's in the back of your mind. It's a little thing.
Well, many questions for you, Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
Now, you are a guy who has demons.
Yes.
And you have demons, and you also have a motor.
Yes.
Like there's a combination. It's a weird thing. I've noticed with addict friends of mine. These guys, it's funny. You'll see them all the time. They quit drugs. Their foot's like always tapping.
Right,
like tapping.
Yeah, yeah.
They're looking over their shoulder. It's as if it's a sort of a wiring and a rhythm. And these people always seem a little bit uncomfortable wherever they are.
Oh,
versus
in your own skin.
I got a big black lab, and that black lab will flop on a bed, on an ottoman, on a kid. It doesn't matter. That dog is comfortable wherever, whenever.
Right.
And then there are the dogs whose eyes are kind of bulging
skittish.
A little bit.
Right.
They're always kind of looking around. That almost seems to be the disease or the precursor or the whatever for the addict. That motor, that thing, that uncomfortable something. And I guess the drugs quell it. But on the other hand, which came first? And then, like for you, let's just say no trauma, no molestation, grew up in Valley Village with a nice father who's an orthopedic surgeon, and zero trauma. What do we reckon Tom Arnold would be right now?
Well, number one, the first video of me ever, I'm in the crib and my legs are shaking.
The tap,
so
the foot
tap.
Yeah,
the foot
tap. Interesting.
So I had that. It does trauma. Trauma does bring that because the reason I'm in trauma therapy is because I was reacting to certain things more and more as if I was reacting to a guy locking me in a box and getting on top of me. You know, I would react to someone cutting me off of the highway or parking in front of my house in my spot or calling me a name as if it was that. I was way overreacting. And I had the general looking out, you know, sitting in the back of a restaurant because that guy might come in there.
Yeah. So when you're trauma, when you have PTSD, you need assistance or help immediately. So that's what they figured out.
It doesn't get embedded.
Yeah, if there's a school shooting and you're a student in that school, you need a therapist that day.
Oh, for sure.
You don't need it 4 years later because then you're just kind of chasing it's like scoliosis or something. You need to be put in a harness and a splint or whatever right now instead of trying to fix it with stretching 10 years later. But you got no therapy or no help for how many years?
So I was 30.
Right.
Yeah.
So that let the cement dry in your psyche, the sidewalk in your mind.
Right.
So now you have to undo the sidewalk and it's dry.
Yes.
So you go into therapy and then you get into drugs and other things and then you get clean at a certain point.
It's for relief.
Right.
The reason that people like me do it is for relief.
So the benzos, what was your routine? What was average day it was on?
Because benzos are, you know, on paper, not my thing. Benzos, you eat more. It came down to so I could sleep at night. I would load up. I would take the whole day's worth at night so I didn't think.
Right.
So I would be like an animal and put myself to sleep like an animal.
Tranquilize yourself.
Yes. Exactly.
And then the next day, you'd go the whole day, no alcohol, no drugs or anything, and then take the benzos.
Right, but you had a residual because it's in there. And I think that what happens with benzos is it's still in there. And something clicks one day with benzos and you are crazy. And you don't realize you're crazy.
How much of the benzo thing is... I feel like one of the things we should be focusing on is sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Never discussed when I was a kid. The right pillow. And I have hypervigilance. I notice everything all the time. Mm-hmm. I can literally, if I turn, like right now, I can see Brian. Like I can look at you. But if Brian has a question, he just raised his hand. I can see Brian sort of off to the side and a little bit behind me. I spent my whole life that way. I need to sleep with an eye shade and earplugs and a sound machine. My entire life, I just slept on the floor on my arms with no pillow and would wake up every 10 minutes. I'd be hot. I didn't realize that I run really hot. You know, I had no air conditioning. I got horrible sleep, like all the way through junior high, high school, adulthood. I never got a good night's sleep because I have hypervigilance and I never knew it. And I slept with a bunch of guys who just fell asleep on the sofa watching SportsCenter.
On the one hand, that's really good because you're mindful. You know, they talk about mindfulness. They talk about when you walk in, part of my trauma therapy is walking into a room, what do I see? When I'm not taking care of myself, I just walk into a room, I sit down, I'm not paying attention, but you're supposed to check it out. Take a minute, take a breath, look around, just take it, just see what that's what you do in your life. That also makes it hard for you to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if it's called mindfulness, but I don't want to give it too much of a euphemistic whatever. But
I know you don't want to, but that's what it is.
I notice everything.
Well, that's what
mindfulness
is.
And so going to sleep was hard for me.
Right.
And we should be looking in. You know, I talked to a mother once on a TV show, worked with her. She thought her kid had hypervigilance. And I said, you got to get him an eye shade because you can see light through your eyelids. Like, you got to get him some earplugs because you can hear people walking around on a squeaky hardwood floor. Like, you don't just pass out. You will not. You need to tend to it like it's it's anything else, right? And I feel like most of these people on these benzos, they have difficulty shutting down. The motor can't stop revving, and they need to shut it down at night. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think a lot of the weird thing that's exacerbated with a lot of the people who can't shut it down is they smoke too many cigarettes and they drink too much coffee. So they should be drinking hibiscus tea instead and listening to Enya. Instead, they're firing up their system with more coffee and more cigarettes. And it's funny how a lot of people in recovery are just smoking and drinking coffee and tapping.
It is weird. And recovery has changed. I have to say that from the old days when it was just alcohol and you just quit alcohol. And since it's been drugs, there's been a lot of, and I have been slippery And when I've got into trouble, it's been because, well, now I'm taking Sudafed because I need to fly on the airplane, or I've got a prescription for sleepy pills when I go from night shoots to day shoots, when right. I'm not really working the real program. I shouldn't have had a prescription for benzos.
But it's kind of, in a way, it's like being the people that were Overeaters Anonymous who would say, hey, you want to quit cigarettes or you quit booze, you quit, but you can't quit eating. Yeah. So I have to make better decisions, you know, and in a weird way with everything over the counter and under the counter and next to the counter and all the doctors and all the different variations of things that you could be ingesting, you kind of have to be like that person in OA who says, if I get a cold, I have to take cold medicine. I can't just say nothing, right? Or if I have allergies, surgery. I have to take a thing. Or I get surgery. I get oral surgery. I got to get pain relief or whatever it is.
Do you decide that? Or does your doctor decide that?
Well, I think the problem that's going on, according to Dr. Drew, and I believe him, the thing about cigarettes is if you didn't smoke from 0 to 40, you're not going to become a smoker. You're just not. And if you weren't much of a drinker from 0 to 40, you're probably not going to be a drinker. But you can be nothing from 0 to 40, get some Vicodin, stay on it for 3 or 4 weeks, and never get off. Right. And that's the super slippery slope. Mm. That didn't really exist. You know, some people smoke pot, some people don't smoke pot. You're not really going to get the non-pot smokers into pot at 42. They're just not.
Right.
And or red wine or whatever your weapon of choice is. It's just not going to come. There's a window. It's from, you know, junior year in high school to 25. And if it doesn't take, then it doesn't take. But the benzos and everything else and stuff that the doctor's prescribing, people are going, I was a normal guy. I was working. I fell off a ladder and I busted my hip. And next thing you know, I am strung out.
Right.
And that didn't exist in the past.
And also, I want to say this about benzos. Getting off of them, even on week three, I went to a place in Antigua. I had some guys from my group that came over, showed up at my house. My wife set it up. They're guys that maybe...
Wait, is this an intervention?
Yeah. But it was guys that maybe I'd helped perhaps in the past.
Oh,
very
humbling.
And they said, you're crazy. You're being crazy. And I said, I know. And they said, we think you need help. I said, I know I need help. I can't stop.
Did you come home and they were there?
No, I saw them coming. You know, I just knew it was happening. I also knew I needed help. I didn't fight it. My normal thing is to say, I got this figured out.
Right.
You know, because I'm so smart. I've been around the program for 30 years. I got a 20-year cake. I know more than anybody.
So you saw...
But I could not stop
this. You saw Dax coming up the driveway with a towel.
I saw Dax.
Throwing it in.
I didn't see like, Dax inside. I didn't see him.
And so they...
Charlie Sheen, how you been?
Dax also got to come when I was there and searched through my stuff, trying to find, you know...
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to tease something for a second. I want to know, like... the intervention or the intervention light where they came in, you cop to it, they talked to you. How long between that point and when you were on an airplane heading for Recovery Island? First, I'll tell you about Smart Mouth, dual solution oral rinse, only activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. That's half a day, man. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur. Isn't that nice? Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter what you do all day. I don't care what you look like or what kind of car you drive. If that foul breath, if it smells like wet garbage, you got a problem, man. Yeah. We need Smart Mouth. Dr. Drew, the aforementioned Dr. Drew, loves the zinc ion technology, man. He loves it. It's a two-parter. It's industrial grade. It's good for what ails you. So go to smartmouth.com, and you can find it over at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. It is smart. Let's be smart, man. Let's get some Smart Mouth.
Don't have sulfur breath.
So they, they're there.
This is, this was,
how long ago?
This was, probably 48 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was easy because I was so, you know, I knew I needed this. I knew I couldn't do it myself. I was very grateful, appreciative
Well, your understanding of the process probably helped you a lot.
Well, it could also hurt you.
The old Tom Arnold may not have been as ready to.
Well, the old Tom Arnold was—he saw that COVID could have escaped,
right?
Too, but
right.
I knew exactly what was.
Right.
In fact, I knew when they were coming.
So
my wife's sneaky, but not that.
So when did they, so how did the process go?
They came in. They came upstairs. They sat there and they said, "We're worried about you. You're not being yourself." And I said, "I know." We think you have a problem. I said, "Yeah, I don't have a problem. I have a problem with benzos, and I can't stop taking them. And I've tried, and I need help." And they said, "We'd like to help you." I said, "I appreciate that. I'd like to do that." They said, "We'd like you to go to a place." I said, "I'd like to do that immediately."
So, what was the schedule after that?
Well, I went to my lawyer is a friend. It's also a guy I helped, and I had a show to do in Aruba for a corporate show. So I went. We did that. I went with him, and then flew over there, and stayed there for 30 days.
3-0.
For what?
30 days.
Yep.
Wow. And
did that detox from the benzos, but also started the trauma therapy.
So I'm curious a little about that. And by the way, next time you're driving through like a homeless encampment,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and some guy panhandles, you can go, "Hey man, go to Aruba for 30 days, get your shit together."
Yeah.
That's how it's done.
Come on.
It was Antigua is where the place is.
Oh, sorry.
And it's a place that that I do recommend called Crossroads that Eric Clapton started. And the only things you can watch, the only videos are Eric Clapton videos. Yeah. That's the only unfortunate thing. But Aruba was where the corporate gig was.
Yeah, make some money. Deal for your corporate gig.
Yeah, that's right. I'm very grateful to my friends.
So
they're very nice.
How was the corporate gig, the one where you were about to go to rehab?
Well, I knew to plan, you know, again, being an addict and knowing enough, I knew I'd be sitting with the CEO of this major, major corporation, and I knew I had to, you know.
Keep it together.
Yeah, keep it together. Yeah.
So how tough was it, as tough as Drew announced?
Yeah, it was. It was the first 3 weeks, as I would read, the words were still jumping off the page of the paper, and, you know, it was, he said it was, you know, he described the anxiety. That helped me, knowing that he had told me what it was going to be like. There was people ahead of me in the program that helped me, telling me what it was going to be like, when it would be better. And so I knew I wasn't, you know, completely insane.
When you're sober, what do you do? And because I've told people a million times, I don't know, if you go on long hikes and listen to classical music, it'll be so beneficial to you. I know it's not going to get you off drugs, but it'll be really psychologically beneficial.
Right.
Do you have something, working out, going on hikes?
I have 10 things.
Do whatever.
I have that. 10 things. I have both of those things. My wife and I started TM, Transcendental Meditation.
How does that work? Can you pull that off?
Yeah, I actually like it better than straight up meditation, you know, and I can make that work for myself, better than regular meditation. You listen to a meditation. Transcendental Meditation, you have a mantra. And it's something you can do by yourself on a plane, and it's something that works within the boundaries of my life, you know, because we have two little kids.
And so you do that on a daily basis?
I do
that.
I do my gratitude list. I work out, do some hard cardio. I try not to eat sugar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of things. I try to follow through with things, not follow through with things that
is something, you know, we're talking about challenging Jesse James
and some days,
and
by the way,
whomever to a fight.
Some days, by the way, are just bad days.
I get it. I'm curious if it feels to me like the, even though it's for charity, but the challenging to the fight.
Yeah.
That feels like a regression. It feels like that's the old time. Like, I feel like it's not drugs.
Yeah.
But it's still a behavior
that
or an activity.
Be. The show that it was announced this week that Paramount is doing about my life is about these interventions that I've always done that are very much like this. The interventions that people do after they've done the healthy ones.
Right.
And they started with, I've told the Peter Criss story. They start with that, where I got the wrong guy.
Right.
But they're fairly violent. And but they've kept me sober because I feel like I'm the type of addict that something needs to be, you
well,
know.
I guess what I'm saying, and I'll ask Dr. Drew, but I'm curious. Now, I think I know what Dr. Drew would say, but I've noticed that some guys, they're addicts, and then they get clean, and then they become sexually addicted.
Right.
Or they become addicted to fitness.
Right.
But they work out for 4 hours a day.
Right. Or sex and fitness.
And if you said to Dr. Drew, what about it? He'd go, yeah, but it's better. I'd rather them run on a treadmill for 4 hours a day than slam drugs.
Right.
And that would probably be his answer. But to me, the ultimate answer is not have to do the drugs or run on the treadmill
right.
for 4 hours. And maybe by giving in to running on the treadmill in a weird way, you're indulging that.
Right.
Is there a path that is neither one?
Well,
that,
I mean,
like a goal, a destination.
There is that's a really good question. I don't know. I've always raised a lot of money for charities, and I've always done it, you know, because it makes me feel good about myself, and it's being of service. I've had a running thing with the President of the United States all year. I wonder if part of that is because he's a terrible human being. Part of it, is probably because I'm a crazy person. And I have to decide what that is. Part of it's because I love my country. Part of it's, I think it's a little bit of each. Part of it is, you know, these guys challenge me and that old, I'm not going to back down from these guys or anybody else.
Right. But my argument is that that's not a healthy response per se.
You're right.
And so, you know, if I was your therapist,
yes,
I would probably, even though it's for charity and could be healthy for a different personality.
Right.
I would say, let's not indulge that.
Right. And part of me is the way it thinks, well, that will eliminate those two from what they are doing, because they can no longer say they are badass white supremacists because a fat old
but
Jewish guy just kicked their ass.
You're going to have to fight the rest of the Klan.
Yeah, well, that's fine. By the way, they aren't.
Must be fun. Say listen, the Klan member, F you and the horse you rode in on. And you go, horse?
You know my horse?
You
seen me?
My brother. Now,
publicity shot.
This may be going too far. My brother is a hacker, and the people that are really.
Wait, what's a hacker?
Well, he's very good with computers.
That kind
of
happens.
The people that send me double ovens with pictures of my kids in them that say they're Nazis, they always leave a trace. Say, you leave a footprint if you tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tracked them down. And we know where they work. We know their names. We know their bank accounts, their social security numbers.
There's a reality show, Tom. There's a reality show.
And we find them. But I've given them a chance every time because they usually work at freaking Home Depot. And they're not Nazis. And I warned them, listen, you work at Helzberg's Diamonds. The owner of your company is a Jew. Uh-huh. He's not going to like what you've been putting on the internet. I'm giving you one chance to take it all down.
Wow.
And I've been very kind about that.
It's
like a reverse catfish.
Yeah. And we can find all these people anytime we want. And I've been kind so far, but it's only when they've threatened, you know, my family.
Would dovetail nicely for the show I want to do now, where we go to Pornhub and we find the dislikes.
Right.
That's like
downers.
Hot 21-year-old blonde takes it in the keister and it has 21,000 likes and 118 dislikes. I want to go to those dudes' houses and go, free porn. Did you get off or not?
Yeah.
Because if you did, you owe this gal an apology. We bring the girl.
Right.
Ding dong justice, we call it.
Right.
It's a double entendre with the ding dong.
Can I see your dirty laundry hamper, sir?
Right. At a certain point,
socks?
We bring her parents out, and they explain. They were devastated when they found out their daughter got into porn, but when they saw the dislikes.
Yeah. Killed them twice.
But you want a psychologist there, too, because there's something wrong with that person, where they are so judgmental that they are disliking. I mean, come on.
Well, also,
what do you want?
First off, to me, it's sort of like you know, in terms of bad porn, it's sort of like bad pizza. Like, I haven't really had it. There's good pizza, and then there's okay
and
pizza.
It's free.
It's free pizza. And then also, during your refractory period, you're supposed to hug your kids and say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Not go online and leave a rating. This has to be refractory period, right?
I would think. Yeah, because supposed to feel shame and self-regret, not lashing out.
Yeah. Yes.
The performers.
It's free.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The only other time, and this was in Variety, you could look this up on the internet, a guy had a website, Tom Arnold is the Devil. I had Marty Singer track him down, send him a letter, get it off the internet. We're suing you, my publicist. His mom called my publicist crying. My son is in the basement. He is so upset because he has no friends now. He had 30 friends when he had the website, Tom Arnold is the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And we took it down. Now he has no friends. And I felt so bad because I realized, you know, I'd like to think I'm equal to everybody. But we aren't really equal to everybody. Some people are struggling, right?
Sure.
And so I said, okay, put it back up, and we sent him pictures of me with my face with a 666 in my eyeballs, and I realized I will never mess with an average person again.
Lean in.
Wow. Tom, so here's my thoughts.
Yeah. I would like to fight these guys, and I don't think that's an addict thing, but maybe it is.
This feels like narcissism to me.
Oh, maybe. I think you just need to step back and go,
there are people out there that say things and you'll treat them like the forest in the woods, you know, if the tree falls in the woods, so to speak. You're not really there to hear it. I go through my life that way for the most part, and it's a much easier way to go through life. You're going through a life where you're getting out.
But with most people, I am like that, with most things. But what I'm saying
is, like, there's people that travel to hotel rooms and they bring a black light to see what's on the sheets. My feeling is whatever's on the sheets is on the sheets and I'm going to bed.
I don't do that.
Well, you're doing it with your life.
Right.
You're not doing it with hotel rooms, you're doing it with the internet.
With a couple people.
Well, then it's every other hotel. But what I'm saying is,
there's 7 billion people in the world.
Why do you want to know what's on the sheet?
I just think it seems fun. Does it seem fun?
You should go kayaking or something.
No, that's not fun. That's horrible.
I'm just saying you may want to think about taking your motor and turning the accelerator.
Okay,
on
if someone challenged you to a fight on the internet and called you. The Pete, where I can't say pussy out here.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And you know your skills, and you knew that you could crush that person. And let's say you had a religion, and they said your religion should be erased from this.
They're making fun of Santeria?
Yeah.
Who is this?
You won't have it.
Okay. And
I challenge you, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, I get, look.
Would you say, hey, buddy?
You know, I think, first off, if I knew I could beat the person, then that should be enough for me.
I know for sure. Well, really? So many people don't believe I could beat him.
Yeah, but that's all narcissism and sort of chip on the shoulder. And it's at a certain point, you have kids and you got a mortgage and you just go, Dax, give me the towel.
I want to end his phony career.
Right, but that
he writes a book called Gorilla Whatever, and he's a badass.
That will begat others coming out and challenging you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Mike Tyson at his prime traveled with bodyguards. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he thought somebody could beat him up at a club? Mm-hmm. It's just what you do. He doesn't engage. Even the great Mike Tyson occasionally threw down. But what I'm saying is you would see the heavyweight champion, Larry Holmes, and his bodyguards, because he doesn't get his hands
dirty.
You're
making a big leap from me to Mike Tyson.
It's quite a compliment.
Yes.
I'm trying. All right. Let me tell you about True Car. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting a real price on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from actual True Car certified dealers. Over 3 million cars have been sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So, if you're looking for a new car or you're looking for a used car, we like to say previously owned, then you go to TrueCar. Their users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. And again, our own Chris Maxpata did it, got his Prius over there. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar.com, see what other people are paying for the actual same inventory. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It is True Car.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
All right.
Hey, I'm going to own being a narcissist, and I'm going to own the addict, but you got to agree with me, that those guys are phonies and pussies.
I will give you that.
Okay, thank you. All That's right. all I need.
All right, you're good.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
Tom Arnold's the devil.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
Battle of the Network Stars premieres tomorrow, as you hear, this Thursday, June 29th, 9 p.m. on ABC. I will now be watching, and the podcast, Tom Arnold 100% Honest. That is the best title for a podcast, and fitting, too. 100% Honest, pretty much. You can check that out on iTunes. Us, oh, let's see.
If I was a narcissist, I'd tell you who won Battle of the Network Stars, but they told me not to tell you.
Oh.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
Us doing live shows. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Find out about the cruise and the Mangria and No Safe Spaces with Dennis Prager and all that kind of stuff.
Levity Live is great.
And the 24-Hour War. That's the latest doc. Tom, you got to see the 24-Hour War. I think you saw the Newman doc.
I love the Newman doc. I love the Newman doc. I love Newman, period.
Go to chassis.com. Two S's and a Y for that. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff Cesario, Tom Arnold, Gina Grant, Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And check out Gina Grad weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.